Now let us seek the Lord once again in prayer. Our gracious God, we have read of those words of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He cried and felt upon the cross. And we feel the sorrow and feel, O Lord, that it was for our sins that He died. And yet, O Lord, these words comfort us. For we think that when our case is miserable and when we sorrow, we have one high priest who knows, who has felt. And so, Lord, we pray that today as we hear Thy word, we might not harden our hearts, but we might receive Thy word and know that the Lord Jesus Christ cares. Help then, we pray, in the preaching and the hearing of Thy truth. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The text that I want to bring to you this morning is found in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Well, friends, many years ago, this text from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23 was a text that was written on and inscribed on some bricks on this archway that went into a chapel. And it said this: we preach Christ crucified. All of those people who entered that building and when they stood outside and saw what was written, they understood the purpose for which this building was erected, the purpose and what was going to be heard in that building. And for years, godly men preached there and presented the crucified Savior to people. But friends, a new generation arose that considered the cross and its message to be a gospel of past times, past days. It wasn't so relevant to our days. They began to treat salvation by Christ's example and teaching without the necessity of His sacrificial death and the cross. And in process of time, an ivy grew, and as it grew up the wall of this chapel building, it also covered part of this archway. So the message, and that message that was printed there on that wall, it simply said, "We preach Christ." It covered, and Him crucified. And so it was for years again. The preachers there preached generally about Jesus Christ and His example to mankind, but not Jesus who was crucified. The message of the cross and His shed blood was not something that was clearly preached. And after sometimes, some ask why the preaching should be confined to simply sermons about Christ and the teachings of the Bible. So the preachers began to give talks on a social gospel, saving people from the social injustice around them. They began to preach about giving to the poor and to charity, and they began to preach about the politics and such things. And then the ivy grew further on and crept further, and it covered the term Christ. So all it said was, "We preach." That's all. So somebody is standing there, knew this was a preaching house, but it's all kinds of things would be preached in that place. Well, friends, here the Apostle Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified," in verse 23. Man's philosophies and social conditions should not take place the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may sadly go to many places of worship this morning, to many places that call themselves churches, and see this very thing. Yes, there is preaching going on. And maybe something of the Bible will be thrown in, and something of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be thrown in as well into the message. But is it the clear message of Christ crucified? Oh, there is a lot about society. We are told about social justice. and giving to this cause and that cause. But is it about Jesus Christ and Him crucified? How different Paul was from these men. For the leading theme of Paul's ministry was Christ and Him crucified. And so he writes to the Corinthian Christians and he says to them, "We preach Christ crucified," reminding them of His first visit to them. He says in chapter 2 and verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I only preached about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and everything about the Lord Jesus. All of His teaching. I didn't leave anything out." The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, is about His death for sinners like us. The day Jesus Christ died will remain the most momentous day in the history of the world. Well, maybe say with John Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress, or the words of Christian in that book, "Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me." So I want to preach from this text in verse 23 on the preaching Christ and His cross, and point you to the Lord as your only Savior. Your only person that you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else that you need in this world except Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you have Him? "But we preach Christ crucified." It says, "but." That's a reference to the very wise people. It's a contrast word. It's showing what it is was going on. The reference to the very wise people to whom the cross was foolishness. Before that, it says to the Greeks, it was foolishness, the preaching of the cross. You see, they were abreast of the times. They kept pace with progress. To them, the cross was a laughing stock. It was, as some liberals put it, the slaughterhouse religion, a blood religion. But Paul says this, "Let these people preach what they like, but we will preach Christ crucified." So I want you to notice three things this morning. First, the preaching of the gospel. The second thing is the message of the gospel. And the third thing is that the work of the gospel in you, in us. So, first of all, the preaching of the gospel. The apostle says here, "We preach." Now, Paul is using a special word here. He says, "We preach." He uses a different word here than what he used in verse 17. In verse 17, he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." There he's speaking about declaring the good news of the gospel. And the word that he uses there is to do with the content of the message proclaimed. In verse 18, again, he speaks about the preaching of the cross. And the word he uses there indicates a divine communication. But here in verse 23, he uses a different word again. He says, "We preach." That word emphasizes the act of public proclamation, the very act of it. This is what we are about. This is what we are preaching. This is the very thing that we are saying, and what we are proclaiming is this. Paul, you see, magnified the function of preaching. And this is the thing that is very much lost today. He says, "I could leave the baptism of converts to someone else, to others, while I will go on and proclaim the gospel and defend the truth of the gospel." You see, there are certain things in Paul's thinking that he recognized, that this method of preaching was ordained by God. Preaching is something that God has appointed. God has called us to. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded His disciples in this way in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. "Go ye into all the world," and the same word, "preach the gospel to every creature." And in obedience to that command, we also read in the book of Acts that about the apostles, we read, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They didn't just talk about it. They just had a little dialogue about it. It was an authoritative declaration, proclamation of that truth. The Bible and the preacher is heralding this message of salvation. And our duty, it is to go from place to place, or as Timothy was a pastor over Ephesus, he announced, he declared, he proclaimed this message of salvation. So this is something that God has ordained, the preaching of it. And Paul recognizes that. This is the method that God has ordained. But also God has owned this method. The preaching is owned by God. How many of you have been converted under the preaching of the Word of God? It is an amazing thing to experience. The same man, Paul, he writes to the Romans and said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Undoubtedly, there are other things that God uses as instruments, and agencies have been used greatly, and God has honored, for example, the printed page, the text of the Bible that is printed, and sermons that are printed, and books that are printed, and God uses it mightily. Yes. Yet it is the preached word that the Lord has particularly owned and blessed. It pleased God, it says in verse 21, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. And what is emphasized is not the act of preaching, but the content of the message. What is being preached? Oh, somebody come and very passionately talk about this or that and the other. You have politicians who very passionately, like a preacher, they go and emphasize some things that they want to announce. But it's the content of the message that is so essential, so important. You see, to these people, the preaching of the cross was foolishness. They could preach about other things, but it was specifically the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was foolishness. That word means absurd. It means vain. It means it was unworthwhile. But unto us which are saved, it says in verse 18, it is the power of God. And the Apostle Paul witnessed to this fact, didn't he? He went about, the scripture says, preaching Christ crucified to a lost world. And what happened under the preaching? The scripture says in Acts 13:48, many believed. In Acts 17:4, it says, some believed. In Acts 18 and verse 8, it says, many of the Corinthians hearing believed. That's what happened. God owned it. God blessed it. My friend, when you are hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ under the faithful preaching of it, oh, who can tell? Today will be the day of your salvation. Who can tell? God will own it and God will bless it to your heart. So don't miss the preaching of the Word of God. God will work in His own timing. But may God work today. You will not know. And so this is something that is very much needed today, isn't it? And it's very much lacking today. This is the main method that God has ordained and owned. But it has been substituted and relegated to many other things, many novelties. So people will say, well, we will affect people and influence people by having a concert, having this and that and the other. The preacher is now revamped and re-examined, and he's been pushed from the center of the pulpit to some side issue. A 10-minute message after so many other things has gone on and lots of noise and music. And yet the Apostle Paul says, no, it's not through entertainment that people come to know Jesus Christ. No, he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? What kind of preaching do we need today? Too many pulpits are silent when it comes to the preaching of Christ crucified and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our only hope. The only hope this lost world has is the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is something about preaching. He says there, we preach. We preach something. But what is this thing that he's preaching? He says, we preach Christ crucified. That's the message of the gospel. Christ crucified is the message of the gospel. The summary of the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul, was that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose the third day according to the scriptures. That's described in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And he says, we preach Christ crucified. Why is that? Because the cross is the message of the gospel. This message of the cross, it does a number of things. It reveals God to you. It shows who God is. Do you want to know God? Go to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and behold the Son of God dying upon the cross. It tells us something of God. You see, to the Apostle Paul, the cross had no superstitious meaning. It wasn't something that the Apostle Paul thought, well, to show that I'm a Christian, I'll have to hang a cross around my neck or put an earring of a cross in my ear. That wasn't the case. Nor did it had a sentimental meaning that was attached in Paul's mind to the cross. Rather, he recognized the significance of the cross, what it actually meant. My friends, would you want to know something about God and His will? Then we must stand before, by faith, before the cross and see what the Bible says about the suffering of Christ and who died upon the cross. Go to the cross. There you see the attributes of God. There you see the perfections of God. There you see who God really is. It is most fully displayed. You see, at Calvary's cross, the love of God was fully displayed. At the cross you go and you say, I need a God who loves. Well, there you find Him. A God of love at the cross. Here in His love, the scripture says, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent His Son to appease God's wrath. And how did He do that? Upon the cross, He did that. Yes, men had sinned. You and I had sinned. He had turned His back to God. Mankind had turned His back against the Lord. But God's love for us was so great that God sent His Son. One of the saddest things in life is to be unloved and also to be unwanted. So many children unloved and unwanted. How sad that is. So many children are so unloved and unwanted that they are got rid of in the womb of their own mothers in our day. Oh my friends, the largest number of murders that are taking place, it wasn't in the First and Second World Wars that we remember every year. But it is happening day in and day out. Thousands throughout the year are murdered in the womb of their own mothers. How it is, the saddest thing is to be unloved and unwanted. And do you realize, friends, that God loves sinners like you and like me? That Christ died for people like you and like me? At Calvary's cross, the love of God is displayed in Jesus Christ. At Calvary's cross as well, the holiness of God was fully displayed. How God is holy. And this is the thing. God is not just love, but He's also holy. There, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. He didn't know anything about sin. He had never experienced, He never had a sinful thought. He had never looked upon something with sin. He never had greed and covetousness in his heart. His hand, his feet, his tongue, he never gossiped. He never said a bad word. He never lied. He knew no sin, the scripture says. He did no sin. Had no sin. Was made sin for us. That's what the Bible says. And into the darkness and into the depths and degradation of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ descends as He cries out, as we were singing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There you see the holiness of God. Jesus Christ, who was made sin for us, must be punished. as a sinner, but also at Calvary's cross, the wrath of God, the anger of God on sin was fully displayed. Because a holy God hates sin, and his face is hid from sinners, as it were. Because a just God punishes sin, his wrath fell on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he must punish sin. Because he was made sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered as a sinner. So there at the cross you see the holiness of God, the wrath of God displayed. So go to Golgotha, go to Calvary. And then you see, you feel the earth tremble beneath the mighty load of the outpouring of God's wrath. The heavens were darkened. The sky became black. And you see the dreadful anger of God who avenges sin. You want a proof? A proof for the day of judgment? You want to know about the day of judgment for sinners? You want to know what happens if you die without Christ? Will you go to hell? Then go to the cross. For if God spared not his own Son, Jesus Christ, when our sins were laid upon him, what hope is there, my friends? What hope is there that he will spare you when you stand before him with your sins upon you? My friends, the cross of Jesus Christ reveals something of God to us. But also it tells us of the restoration of man. It restores man. Did not Paul discover this? This man, the Apostle Paul, he hated Christians. He hated the name of Christ. He persecuted Christians. He tried to stamp out Christianity. Just read the book of Acts for yourself and see. But then one day, the Lord Jesus Christ came to him. The Lord Jesus Christ, his risen Lord, came to him on the day, on the road to Damascus. And that changed his whole life. Has your life has been changed? Has it been totally made upside down by the Lord Jesus Christ? Now it is that we hear the Apostle Paul, after that experience of conversion and meeting with the Savior, he's been restored. And he says, we preach Christ crucified. We hear him rejoicing, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You see, my friends, this is a restored man. A man who was ruined in sin. He needed restoring. And you and I are ruined in sin and need restoring. Paul mentions only two classes of people. The Apostle Paul and the whole Bible mentions two groups of people. The saved and the lost. The saved, those who have had their sins forgiven, and those who are perishing. Saved and those who are perishing. For man without Christ is lost. Are you lost this morning? Or have you come by grace to know God? That's what that word perish means. It means ruin. It means lost. Something that has now gone. It's no longer going to be retained and had and be made use of. It's now perished. In 1912, the Titanic sank. They called her the unsinkable ship. The only thing that it ever did was to sink. That's all Titanic did. And when it took off from England, all kinds of passengers were abroad. That ship, millionaires and celebrities and poor people, educated people, uneducated people, people who had hopes and expectations, young and old, all sorts of people, and from all classes of people, were on board that ship. But later on, a list was sent out to New York, the shipping offices in New York, and there were two lists, and the headings were this, saved and the lost. That's all it was. They were categorized into two groups, saved and lost. Tragedy had crossed out all other distinctions. every other distinction, every other differences. Some of you are tall, some of you are short. I won't describe any other differences that you might have or I'll get into trouble. But you have all kinds of differences amongst you here this morning. But all of those distinctions will be wiped away. Only two differences. There are some who are here this morning who are saved by God's grace. And they've come to trust in Jesus Christ. And those who are still lost. But I hope one day we can say all of these people are converted. That would be a wonderful thing. Saved or lost. Where are you? What category do you fall into this morning? All are either bound for heaven or for hell. Think about that, friends. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and that's why the preaching of Christ and Him crucified is so essential, because it sets us in the right path of thinking, and it helps us to see it was for me, a lost sinner, Jesus Christ died. So think about that. Have you discovered that? Has the Jesus' sacrificial death that He paid for our sin debt, has that affected you? Have you come to trust in Him? Have you been brought and be restored to God? And the final thing is this, that I want to say. So we've thought about the preaching of the gospel. We've thought about the message of the gospel. But then the work of it. The work of the gospel in you and in me. What is that work? Has that work been done in me and in you? Surely this message of the cross and the love of God and the provision that God has made, it should melt our hearts. It should master our hearts. But has it done that to people? No. Sadly, not for many. Why not? Why hasn't it melted people's hearts when they have heard it? The reason is this. There are a number of reasons. The Apostle Paul says, gives two reasons here. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. So for some people, they stumble at the cross. They stumble at the cross. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. The Jews were seeking for a sign. They were looking primarily for a Messiah who would break the Roman yoke and who would set up His kingdom, a Jewish kingdom. Somebody who would deliver by the force of sword and trumpet, but not by humiliation and death. To the Jew, the cross was an offense. It was an offensive thing. That's what the word stumbling block means. It offends. What about you? Is this your response to the cross? When I tell you that all of your coming and singing and praying and giving and doing and all accounts for nothing, if your heart is not right with God, does that offend you? Does this cross of the Lord Jesus Christ offend you? When you're at school and someone says to you, "Oh, I heard you go to church on Sunday." Does it offend you? Do you feel embarrassed and ashamed and try to make excuses about it? Are you ashamed of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you say about it in your life? Is it a strange thing to you? Some people, they stumble at the cross. There are some others who sneer at the cross. They laugh at it. Unto the Greeks, it is foolishness, it says. Nothing in the understanding of the rationalists, and what the Greeks were, the rationalists. They were the clever people. Supposed that they thought to themselves. And for all of these Greeks, the cross of Jesus Christ, and that a Savior would die upon the cross and shed His blood for our sins, that was foolishness. To think that the blood would remove sin and bring forgiveness, that is foolishness. To say that somebody else would secure our salvation, that's foolishness. No, it's just by our own activities, by our own doing, by our own cleverness. But the Jews, or the Greeks, for them, they sneered at it, they laughed at it. They mocked it. This is foolishness, they said. Do you fall into that category? Many people do. How can this suffering of one man lead to the salvation of other men? Maybe there is some sort of pride in you. You're too proud. When you come to the cross, or it is beneath you. Or you're too independent to come and depend on Christ. And you're trying to do things in your own way and striving in your own strength. And that shows, my friends, that you're too independent, you're too proud of yourself. And you need humbling. And then there are others who simply stand at the cross. They're amazed. They think it is wonderful, it is lovely. But then they pass by. Is that him beneath the cross of Jesus I fain would take my stand? Have you stood at the cross? Have you discovered the cross is the power of God? It gives pardoning for our sins, of our past sins. It is power to keep us in our present state. And then it gives us hope for the future. We preach Christ crucified, the apostle says. Do you simply stand and wonder? Don't simply stand and wonder. Don't let these things pass by you and go in one ear and then you think about it and stir something up and then you forget it the next day. Don't let that happen to you. There are many people who are well versed about these things, but they are not yet converted. Don't be simply a churchgoer. And I would not forget to tell you this. We preach Christ crucified, but this crucified Savior who died and was buried, he rose. We preach also a risen Savior, a risen Christ. He rose again. Christ died for us. He rose for us again. He lives for us and he is here with us as well. He's for us. He may be trusted by us. You may believe on him this morning. Oh, my friends, trust him then. He is here. He has promised to be amongst us today. Wherever God's people gather together, wherever this book is preached, by his Spirit, he has promised to be with us. Is he speaking to you this morning? Has he been challenging you and comforting you and calling you to himself? Well, bow before him and trust him. May God bless his word then. Amen.